Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Welcome to Vox Novus, the new voice. Every one of us has purpose in our lives, but is there a special purpose that you only perceive in your wildest dreams? My guest this week on Vox Novus, Chris Franken, says that you can discover the dreams of your soul, design your unique map of personal growth, and live authentically through nature. Chris Franken is an author and mentor. She's a wild woman, certified meditation guide and energy healer, women's circle and retreat facilitator, and ritual and ceremony teacher. She has a bachelor's degree in psychology and sociology and more than 15 years of experience as a professional writer. She's published 7 sets of empowerment and oracle cards and is the author of The Call of Intuition. Her website is chrisfranken.com, and she joins me this week to share her path and new book, Wild-Hearted Purpose, Embrace Your Unique Calling and the Unmapped Path of Authenticity. Please join me in welcoming from Byron Bay in Australia, Chris Franken. G'day, Chris.
G'day, Victor. Thanks so much for having me.
I don't have a lot of people that I speak to in Australia, so for me to be able to say g'day is a blessing. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. It's just amazing to be here.
Chris, please share with our listeners your early path, your career as a journalist, and how it led to the work and wisdom you share with our world.
Wow. So I have a degree in psychology and sociology, which was actually a bit of an accident. I really wanted to have a degree in music. I wanted to be a singer. I was a pianist as a child and as a teenager. What I discovered when I was studying my Bachelor of Arts is how much I love to write and write in long form. So while I spent my 20s in hospitality, there was this craving, this deep desire to be a writer. So when I was 29, I finally made that happen as a journalist. And I spent 3 years working on a really large national magazine here in Australia. The period that I spent on this magazine was so potently inspiring and also really quite powerfully challenging for me. But what it did, it was almost like being in the fire or in the eye of the storm. I really found that I found what I was capable of as a person and as a writer. And it really helped to shape me as a much better writer, even with the challenges, even with the amazing people that I was reading. The amazing people that I was meeting. The people I was working with on the magazine were incredibly professional, amazingly talented people, but then there were the people I was interviewing. And most of all, they were the people that I connected with, because what I wanted to do is give the reader a sense of empowerment. That's what I've always wanted to do. So while interviewing people as a journalist, I found that what I could do was make a heart-to-heart connection, really share some empowered wisdom, and then leave it up to the reader, because when you share your wisdom in a magazine, you just have to let it go. So it was a really inspiring time in my life. After that, I was a freelance writer for many years for some incredible magazines as well, and it was always the same intention for me, and it was just... it's been such a game changer in my life to be able to work in that way.
And you share that you have a sacred penchant for words, written, spoken, whispered, felt, and thought. How may we find the magic and the healing in words?
I think, you know, words are a real gift. They're a spell that we weave in our thoughts, in our conversations, in our everyday lives. Words are really special. And I think sometimes we take them for granted. I think sometimes we don't realize we're the creator of our every thought. We don't realize how much power, and by power, I mean really loving power, that we have when it comes to having conversations with people. And even those of us who have conversations with ourselves all day, there's a real power in how we tune into our words, the words that we choose and the intention behind them. I'd really love, I know I'm an air sign, I'm a Gemini, this is really my thing. So for some people, words might not be your thing, but actually, because we all use language, there really is a magic for all of us to be able to explore in words. And I think it's really worthwhile to take time every day to gently consider the words that you're using. Not that they have to be positive all the time, but the more you awareness you bring to your words, especially your thoughts, you know, how did I start my day? What was my first thought of the day? And if I could choose to have a particular thought to start my day, then what would that be? Where would I like my day to flow? So your words are just absolute magic. They're spells that you weave, and they're actually also really fun and playful as well. And they're so worth exploring in your own way.
Is there an expression or affirmation that our listeners can embrace and use when they wake up every morning that you find to be effective?
You know, some days I like to wake up and just say, today's going to be a really good day. It's so simple. It's something that we can all attain. And the feeling I get in my body when I think that or when I say that is loving, it's kind, it's positive, it opens my heart. And so some days I will flow with however I'm feeling. If I wake up feeling sluggish, I try and like nip that first complaint in the bud by saying, today I have all the energy I need to achieve everything I desire. So it can vary day to day, or you can just wake up and say, today's just going to be a good day.
And there are wonderful words in many different languages. I'm aware of one from Africa. The expression is Ubuntu, and it translates as I am because we are, implying the importance of community. Mm.
That's really beautiful. I love feeling into that. I love the sense of who I am given the community that I live in. That's really important to me too.
Absolutely. When did you first recognize the gift of intuition in your life, and how did that manifest for you?
I don't think I realized it at the time, but as a kid, I was taught by my mom to be highly intuitive. I remember cooking with my mom and hanging out a lot with my mom, and she's a really highly intuitive woman, and I think I just picked that up because it's such a felt sense. Intuition is so connected to our senses. I think that just by being with my mom a lot over the years, I picked up this way of being intuitive. I actually, in my early 20s, worked with my mom, and I could see how intuitive she was. But at the time, I didn't really know what intuition meant. And it wasn't until, I'd say, my late 20s, when the word intuition started to be used a lot, that I thought, yeah, that's how I am. Isn't that how everyone is? It was just such a natural way that I was being in the world. So when I realized that that was something a lot of people struggled with, that's when I got really curious about it.
I was very intuitive as a child also. And quite frankly, my mother was amenable to that. My father was not. And he used to say I had an overactive imagination, even when things that I intuited came to pass. What do you say to parents of children who are expressing intuition?
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That's so interesting. If you're a parent and your child is quite intuitive, it may look illogical to you, because if you've been taught that logic and linear thinking is what matters, because that's, you know, how to progress in life, that's what's been passed down to you, and that's what's become your values and meaningful for you. So when you see a child, whether it's your child or your niece or your nephew or just someone that you know, expressing something that is not really in those structures, then really just get curious, if you can, about where they're coming from and what it is that they know and how do they know that without judging them. If you can give them space to find an awareness, and if you can show your appreciation for that, even if you don't understand it, because quite often intuition it doesn't make sense until later. But if you can just give them space to express that, that's going to mean the world to that child and their development.
What inspired your 2020 book, The Call of Intuition, How to Recognize and Honor Your Intuition, Instinct, and Insight?
Well, here I was getting really curious about intuition and why some people seem to be blocked from it and why some other people seem to just live completely intuitively. And I thought, well, then what is it? Because a lot of people at the time were saying, oh, intuition, you'll never know what it is. You'll never know where it's coming from, but you'll just get this hit out of the blue and you have to follow it. And I thought, that's not really great advice for someone who is really struggling to tune within and discover the voice that's within them. And, you know, what is the difference between the voice of intuition and ego? So there is a lot of confusion there. And I wanted to clear up that confusion because I felt like I felt my intuition so tangibly. So then I started to really deep dive into what it is and where it is. The science, I went into the science, the psychology, the physiology, the spirituality and energetics of it. And I really unpacked that as deeply as I could, just so that people could read the book and go, oh, that's, I can feel that now. I know where that is in my field. I can actually access that now. That was my intention behind the book.
There are three major I's in the title: intuition, instinct, and insight. Are these different qualities, and how may our listeners and your readers access and identify them in their own lives?
Oh, thank you so much for asking. That's really lovely to unpack. They are different aspects within us, but they all work together very closely together. In fact, it's hard to completely separate one from another, but quite often the more you get to know them, the more you'll see, oh, that was an insight, or that was my instinct working. So we have this incredible gut instinct, which is ancient. It's really something that we inherit from our ancestors. You can see it in a baby. They have a very physical instinct that drives them to access the milk that they need to stay alive and to cry when they need something else. And so we have this instinct, and how it develops as we grow older is it becomes very not just what we need to survive, but also how to protect us. And as an adult, you can see sometimes you act very quickly in a base kind of a physical level when you need to protect yourself without even thinking, because this is connected to the unconscious mind. So it's really whatever you were told as a kid. That is, you know, if a spider is unsafe to you and a snake is safe, then when you see a spider, you're going to physically react against that spider because you feel like you need to protect yourself. And if you think a snake is safe, well, then you're going to see a snake and you're just going to be completely at peace. You know, it's really in our beliefs, which are the threads that make up our unconscious mind. And there is a lot more to it than that, obviously, but the more you connect to that deeper physical realm of instinct, the more you'll see it in your life, you'll see it in your day-to-day activities, and it might not show itself up really clearly all the time, but when you do feel under pressure or under threat, it will be there. Then we have this incredible heart intuition, which really lives in the center of our being. I find that myself and most people that I speak to have this physical way of responding to life as, yes, that is aligned with my being, and no, that is not for me. And that is really in the heart center. So when an idea or a person, a friendship, an opportunity comes my way, if I feel into that for long enough, I'll feel my heart center and it'll be expansive if that is a yes, an aligned idea for my life. And I find I might feel a bit contracted if that is actually not something that is meant for me. And I find that's my heart telling me yes or no. And that's connected to the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind receives its information from our five physical senses. So intuition is a very felt experience. It's something that, you know, we are so connected to one or two senses at a time, because the sight and hearing work together, and the taste and smell work together, and then we have our physical touch, which works not isolated, but, you know, a little bit differently. And so we take in the world in these five physical senses, and that's what feeds our subconscious mind, and that's what talks to our intuition. So our intuition doesn't use words. That's why it's really important to go into the body and to feel our way through life, especially the really important decisions that we need to make. So our intuition speaks to us in physical sensations and emotions, but also in dreams and symbols, visuals and images. So it's important to pay attention to your daydreams, your dream time at night, and all the symbols that you may be noticing, even in nature. Then we have our mind
insight.
We have our mind's insight. And really that can be simply, but it's not so simple. But if I can be simple about it, break it into two, we have an everyday insight and a psychic insight. Everyday insight is when I listen to a beautiful conversation like this one and I receive new information. I think, oh, that's so interesting. And it actually aligns with what I already know, but it inspires me because it's new. That's an everyday insight that's very much connected to the conscious mind. But a psychic insight, I guess, is more connected to the superconscious mind, which is really connected to all that is. And when we receive information that seems to come out of nowhere, then we think, well, how do I know that? How did that information just land within me? Where did that even come from? And it comes from the one mind. It comes from source energy and your guides and your higher self. It just drops into your psychic insight. So those are the three main guides within us, and that's what I explore in the book. I really love this subject.
And you mentioned that the inner voice, we have to be very discerning with the inner voice, because sometimes it comes from ego and sometimes it comes from that higher self, from that true source, from the heart source. How can we differentiate between the two voices?
The ego is really strong, and the ego loves to play different roles. It loves to put different hats on. And if you're on the spiritual path, the ego really loves to put on the spiritual hat and pretend that you should be doing more ritual and ceremony and meditation, and it's very demanding, and it'll even guilt you along your spiritual path to tell you that you're not doing enough. The heart voice is really subtle, and quite often it doesn't use words, but when it does, they are always loving. They are always kind. They're always positive and gentle. It's like the kindest grandmother or grandfather that you could ever imagine, just putting their hand on your shoulder and saying, "You're doing a really great job." You know, that's the feeling I get when my intuition, when my heart and my higher self comes through and says, "Hey, Chris, you're doing your best. I can see that. Just, you know, stop putting so much pressure on yourself." But the ego, on the other hand, wants to play games, and it wants to guilt me and do things its way. So it's really important to not fall for the voice, the loud voice, whatever the loud voice is, because quite often that's just our ego trying to have its way.
You share that the golden thread weaved through all of your work is empowering others to trust their heart and let it guide, delight, and replenish them in every moment. How may we learn to trust our hearts, especially those of us whose hearts have been hurt or broken?
The heart is this infinite presence within you, the presence of love, and it's the presence of love that can't be hurt or broken. So on a human level, when we've been hurt by another, when our heart has been broken, or even when life and what's going on in the world seems to crush us a little and we're just feeling a little lost and unsure of how our heart can guide us when we're in pain and confusion and betrayal and all of those confusing states, it's really important to know that there's this guiding force of love within you that can never be crushed or bruised, and it is always flowing from source, and it always wants to guide you. It wants to fill you with love in every moment. So there's a certain sense of trusting the greater sense of love rather than needing to trust yourself or needing to trust other people. Again, start with trusting the love of, you know, whoever you're connected to on a greater sense, whether it's the great mother, great spirit, whether it's God, source energy, or even Mother Gaia, our Mother Earth. Connecting into a greater sense, you'll feel that sense of love pour through you. That's the kind of thing that will guide and replenish and heal you and actually help you learn to trust yourself and others and your path again.
My guest is Chris Franken. Her book, Wild-Hearted Purpose, Embrace Your Unique Calling and the Unmapped Path of Authenticity. Chris, please tell our listeners where they may purchase your books and find out more about you and your wonderful work.
Thank you so much, Victor. My website is chrisfranken.com. That's K-R-I-S-F-R-A-N-K-E-N.com. And on there, you'll find my two books, a bunch of oracle cards, one-on-one sessions. I have retreats coming up. So all the information is on that website.
And we'll be back with more of Chris after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hey, Dad, your prescription will be ready in just a minute. Hey, Dad, your laundry will be ready in just a minute. Dad? Your lunch will be ready in just a minute.
Hey, honey, why don't you take a minute?
When you help care for a loved one, you give them as much time as you can, making sure they're safe and comfortable. But it's just as important that you take some time for yourself. At AARP, we can help with information and useful tips on how you can maintain a healthy life balance, care for your own physical and mental well-being, and manage the challenges of caring for a loved one. Because the better care you take of yourself, the better care you can provide for your loved one.
Thanks, Dad.
Thank you. You're there for them. We're here for you. Find free care guides to support you and your loved one at aarp.org/caregiving. That's aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Back with Chris Franken, her new book, Wild-Hearted Purpose, Embrace Your Unique Calling and the Unmapped Path of Authenticity. Chris, before we discuss your new book, please share with us some of the other wonderful tools you've created, starting with your unique oracle decks. I noticed that each of these are comprised of 56 cards. What's the significance of 56?
Well, 56 was the number I was given by my Australian publisher, Affirmation Publishing House, when they commissioned these cards from me. So I never chose 56, but I do like that 5 and 6 add up to 11. That's pretty cool. That gives it a real powerful number. So when I was pregnant with my daughter, my second child, and this is 8 years ago, just over 8 years ago, there was a real trend in Australia. I'm not sure about the US or other countries. There was a real trend in Australia for conversation starter cards. And as a Gemini, I don't need a conversation starter card. I just need a person to speak to, and off we go. But I was really intrigued at how these were really helping people. And I saw as a trend, they were really taking off. And I thought, yeah, they're really helping people who, you know, would like to get a little bit, you know, deeper or have a deeper conversation. But the more I looked at the cards that were coming out, the more I felt like what was needed was a deck of conversation cards that went really deep for those people who were perhaps a little shy, but also quite spiritual or quite open-minded. I really wanted to create a deck. So that was my first deck. I created 56 questions that you can ask anyone. And I actually have friends who are business coaches and healers who use these cards with their clients. I have friends who use these with their kids every morning. It's really been wild to see the path that these soul-to-soul conversation cards took. So I don't think that there are many of those cards left. But from there, I just had this beautiful relationship with this publishing company here not far from where I live. And next thing I know, I was creating affirmation cards. And I really went into the research behind what makes a really good affirmation, you know, keeping it positive, keeping it in the first person. So I wrote 56 affirmations, and then I started to write oracle cards, love and light and light worker cards and joyful abundance cards that tap into abundance on all levels, not just financial. And then there was the spirit animal cards. And I really love cards because they're such an everyday way to access inner wisdom. I personally use oracle and tarot cards just about every day. So it's been a real joy to create 7 decks of these cards over the years. And I'm sure there'll be more in the future, but for now it just feels good to focus on books.
And as we're talking about soul purpose, you have soul purpose cards. What will the listeners find in those decks?
The soul purpose cards, yeah, they came before I wrote my book about purpose. And I love the idea of tapping into a card every day as a ritual to read something that's like an affirmation about purpose that also inspires the reader to look at their day maybe in a slightly different, more inspired, more curious way. I really loved the idea of just coming at those cards in such a way that people could open up perhaps to a whole new understanding of purpose or even an understanding of themselves. So that was the intention behind those cards. I deeply love them.
You've created sacred ceremonies using cacao. And here in the U.S., we would know cacao as cocoa. What is cacao medicine and what are these ceremonies like?
Well, I fell in love with cocoa, which is the processed version of the raw cacao. So cacao is the traditional name. Well, I'm sure that's what we say in English, the traditional name of the plant that provides the beans, the cacao beans, which are then turned into either a cacao product or then further processed and turned into cocoa. So when you find regular chocolate in the shops, then that's usually made from cocoa. But if you find something that's a little bit more closer to the source, I guess you'd say, then that's going to be made of cacao. Now, I have always been a huge fan of chocolate my entire life. And it was a few years ago, you know, when the pandemic hit and we had some local cafes closed down, and I thought, well, where am I going to get my local hot chocolate from? Because it's really important to me that I have hot chocolate. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to make the best hot chocolate that I can. And over the last few years, it's really developed. It's become a very mindful, loving obsession. In the same month, I gave up alcohol for good. I've been sober for 3 years. So my focus has been on what kind of drink can I have in the morning? Not that I was drinking alcohol in the morning, but I was really losing my way with alcohol. I wasn't really tapping into rituals that could open my life up. But so in the same month, turning from one beverage to another was absolutely a game changer for everything about my life. Tapping into this beautiful creation of a hot chocolate in the morning was gave me, you know, it actually gave me a different purpose, and it was a much higher purpose. The cocoa gradually turned into cacao, which gradually turned into, you can buy ceremonial grade cacao paste for those who are really feeling connected to this, because it's beautiful medicine. And so that's what I use when I create women's circles that focus on cacao. I use the paste and I stir it in with some hot water and some other beautiful things like vanilla and cinnamon and raw honey and maybe even some reishi mushrooms or lion's mane. And I make a beautiful pot of cacao for women to come. And what is so incredible about this medicine is that it is so grounding and so uplifting at the same time. I don't know anything else that provides this kind of feeling in my body. Plus, I have access to my heart. I have this full, open-hearted connection to love. I feel more connected to Mother Gaia, to my community, to my friends and my families. I am in love with this medicine, and I love sharing it with other people.
You generously offer a free book to visitors of your website entitled The Intuitive Playbook. What may readers find within the pages of this gift?
This is a really fun book that I've had available for many years, actually. I have updated it, but when I first started looking into intuition, I wanted to create a really fun way that helped people just in a very easy, you know, you're coming to your journal, you're answering a question, and then you get an insight around who you are on a deeper level. So I created this playbook for anyone to download off of my website that that can help you just very easily tap into your incredible intuitive self. So within there are exercises and journal prompts that get you to just look a little bit deeper. And I know I use the word curious a lot because it's a really beautiful way of being in the world. If you're just curious, you find more answers, you find more playfulness, you find a lot more fun, but you'll also find a deeper understanding of yourself, which is really the whole point of the book.
Your new book is entitled Wild-Hearted Purpose, Embrace Your Unique Calling and the Unmapped Path of Authenticity. What inspired this book?
So I have been gratefully mentoring people on their soul purpose for quite a few years now. And it was the clients really that inspired the book, because I was having these amazing conversations with people, really in-depth conversations with people. But I was also finding the deeper I went into people's lives and their past and their confusion and their joy and their sense of purpose or their lack thereof, I was finding these common themes. And as I tapped into these common themes, I realized, wow, I wish I could just share that with everyone, or I wish I could share that process that I went through with a few different clients because it really helped them, but it was the same process and yet so unique. So one day, with all that in mind, I was sitting on a beach and I'd had this other idea for a book, which is why I hadn't really connected the what I was learning from these clients to actually writing a book. And I was on the beach one day and I had this other idea for a book, and I realized it wasn't meant to be, so I gave it to Gaia. I love to do that. I love to sit in nature, and when something isn't working anymore, I just give it to her. She gets to alchemize it and transmute it into something better. And I thought, well, it might take me a few months until I realize what my next book is going to be about, but that's okay. I'll be patient. And so I was really in this state of trust and surrender, and an hour later as I was leaving, I just felt this whisper say to me, and I know it was Gaia, and it just said to me, you know, what is it that, you know, when you wrote The Call of Intuition, you were just so obsessed with intuition and you so loved exploring that subject. What is it that you feel that way about now? And I thought, well, soul purpose, of course. How did I miss this? So I really loved exploring everything that I had been learning from clients and teaching clients. Obviously, it's always a beautiful connection where I'm learning so much as well. And I got to really just unpack that. As I was writing it in the book, though, so much of what I wanted to teach started to come out in metaphor and journey and symbolism. And I thought, well, I hope this is really helpful for people. Rather than a book that tells you exactly what to do, how to earn a lot of money, how to be satisfied, I thought, well, why not just unpack it in a way that guides the reader so that they can find their own fulfillment, their own idea of success, their own idea of purpose. So that's how it came to be.
And you offer a series of exercises and practices within each chapter. What do these entail?
The exercises and the journal prompts and that come at the end of each chapter, what they entail is a process to help the reader embody the wisdom they've just read. So I'll take them on a little journey through nature. That just explores things on a level that might not make sense to the brain, but it really makes sense to our body because our body is the earth. So then I get to explore that in my own way of understanding it and my way of sharing it so that people can come to their own wisdom, the wisdom that they already have within them. That's what I love opening them up to. So then when there's a process at the end of the chapter, whether it's perhaps getting your journal out and answering some journal prompts, or perhaps it's going into nature and actually doing some kind of ritual or exercise connecting to the body and nature in that way, or there's other types of exercises to do as well, then my intention with those is just to really help people embody the wisdom and to really, really, really take on what they're learning in the book rather than read the book and go, oh, that was cool. And then they put the book to the side and go, wait, what was that about again? You know, I wanted it to be more of an experiential book where people really, really felt it. I like things to be tangible myself. So I wanted to share that with others through the book.
Where the readers actually participate in the process.
Yes, exactly.
And participation brings in that energy.
That's right. Exactly. The energy shifts when you actually get to embody it in your own way. Yeah.
Absolutely. Those of every path recognize the importance of a purposeful life. But you share we should imagine our wildest purpose. How may we embrace this?
I think wild to some people is a little bit scary because we've been taught by so many people and in so many ways to stay tame, to stay, you know, quiet and small. And quite often the conditioning around us, whether it's our parents, teachers, media, all sorts of places where this comes from, it sort of tends to point us in one direction and then we all end up on the same path, which is how I see it. I see it. If you're not listening to your heart, generally you'll be sort of funneled down the same path as everyone else. And what this does is it puts you on a path that is misaligned with the wild nature of your being. Your soul is wild. It's infinite. Your heart is wild. It's connected to and made from love. You're not meant to do what everyone else is doing. So that's why metaphor came to me when I wanted to describe this, because wild means jumping off the paved path that is given to us and running barefoot and free into the wild. And I know for some people that's quite a thing to grasp, is how do I live more wild? But really wild is just whatever your heart is saying. Wild doesn't mean you have to leave the city. Wild simply means being authentic. It means tapping into, well, who am I and why am I here? The more you can understand who you are, which can be very simple. It doesn't have to mean you need to run barefoot into the forest. It can mean, you know, that actually what you love is certain types of food, but often you give your power away and you eat other types of food that aren't really aligned with what your body needs. And so it's making an empowered choice about what you eat and about who you connect with and the kind of work that actually makes you feel really good. It's these everyday choices. For me, I love the idea of being wild because it just sets us free from everything that we've been taught and everything that we've been given. And it gives us an opportunity to really live untethered and really live inspired.
And both my wife and I have experienced new purposes in our later lives, in our senior lives, including my wife, who was an ordained interfaith minister and has a doctor of ministry degree, pursuing a master's degree in public history at the age of 65 and 66. So there's no end to the purpose in life, that no matter what point in life you find yourself, you can always find a new purpose if you choose one.
That is so true. I really love that. I just love hearing stories like that because, and I've actually heard people in their 40s and 50s saying, I want to find my purpose. I want to find what it is that I'm here to do. And I say, yeah, I can guide you onto some kind of, you know, career and hobbies and lifestyle and rituals that will really help you feel on purpose. But don't ever think that all of your life up until this point, it was purposeless. You had a purpose every day of your life just by showing up as you. Your purpose was to maybe heal from your childhood or meet certain people along the way or have children or travel the world. That's purpose. Because you haven't found a job or a degree that really calls to your heart doesn't mean that you haven't been living on purpose. So that's a beautiful point that you made, and I really wanted to share that as well.
Thank you. There's an expression that says, energy flows where intention goes. You share that purpose grows where meaning flows. Please explain.
Well, I guess they're a little similar, aren't they?
Yes.
So when you set an intention in the morning, like we were saying before, today's going to be a really good day, then that's where your energy flows. It flows towards goodness. I mean, you really can't help it. If that's your beautiful, if that's how you're going to start the day in such a beautiful way, then that's just how your energy is going to flow. And it's going to be a lot easier to flow in that way. So my idea in the book of, you know, when you set meaning in your life, it's a beautiful anchor point. And it's an anchor point that you're able to move and shift and pivot with as much as you need to. Where is the meaning at? You know, what are your values and what brings you meaning in your life? And when you really tap into the meaning of your life, then you're tapping into something really deep and really important. And it's like setting an intention. You get to feel into, oh, what actually gives me meaning, you know, is working with children, that gives me so much meaning, or working with animals, or working with nature, or teaching other people, healing other people. There's an infinite number of ways that can bring us meaning, and it can change throughout our lives in different stages of our lives. And when we tap into that meaning, then the purpose kind of flows from there. So you don't really need to get too technical about how it's all going to work out for you, because once you actually connect to that meaning, life will meet you halfway and it will kind of gather you up and say, this way, I have something to show you.
My guest is Chris Franken. Her book, Wild-Hearted Purpose, will be back with more of Chris after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
back with Chris Frank in her new book, Wild-Hearted Purpose, Embrace Your Unique Calling and the Unmapped Path of Authenticity. Chris, is there a soul contract that we bring in with us each lifetime? And if so, how may we read that contract?
I really believe that there is. I believe that before we incarnate, we kind of get together with our spirit guides and we decide, you know, which body, which family, where are we headed for this particular life and why? And in that intention, we discover our and create our soul contract. So our soul contract is something that is, you know, really it's our destiny for this life. And it's not a linear destiny as we would see it as a human being. It's a really multifaceted, multidimensional contract that I see as like a soul blueprint. It's this weaving of light codes within our soul that guides us. And if we really push back against that, and if we really force our way onto a path that is does not even feel good or right for us personally, then that's when we can come up against big obstacles in life. But if we listen within at the gentle nudge of our heart, then we'll always be on purpose. We'll always be living according to that blueprint. And if it's something that you like to that you'd like to read yourself, then you can ask your higher self in meditation to show you what needs to be shown. You might see it in a meditation. You might get a glimpse of it throughout your day in symbology or in messages that come your way or people that you meet. If you need a guide or someone who can help you read that to access the Akashic records where that is, then you can call on the universe to really bring someone to you who can read that with you in a loving way. And so that's actually a part of my book, is if you actually need to call in a mentor or a guide or even a psychic or a really good friend that can come in and witness this part of you with you, then you just write them a letter. You write them a letter in advance to say, thank you so much for coming into my life. This is what I'm calling in. And I really appreciate just having someone with me who can help me to read this blueprint and to understand like what is my soul contract and why I'm here.
You shared the importance of your connection with Gaia. How may we connect with the elements of the earth on this journey? And how may we find what you call the ley lines of love?
Ah, yes, the ley lines of love. Well, to connect with Gaia, to connect with the earth, it's really a matter of following like how your body feels in each day. For some people, they're more drawn to the water, to the ocean, to the lakes and the rivers, or even to a beautiful swimming pool or swimming hole. For some people, they're more drawn to the mountains, to a higher altitude, to the forest, to the trees. And others like me, I like the best of both worlds. I love heading to the beach and I love living in the rainforest. And I love speaking to wildflowers. Really, I recommend to go where you love to be and just to really take time to sit there without a phone, without needing to record the day each time. Just sit there, sit on a rock or sit on the sand or sit with your back up against a tree and just be. That's connection with Gaia. It doesn't need to be any more profound than that. She will hold you in that moment. She will connect to you. She will heal you. She'll give you wisdom, whatever it is that you need from her. She'll also take from you all of your confusion, your negativity, anything that's going on for you that's really tough. You can give it to her and she will give you love in return. Don't forget to wait though until she gives you that love in return. So often we go into nature and we say, okay, like I just want to feel better, and we give all of our cares to Gaia and we forget to take time to really open our heart and to sit with her and say, thank you. Thank you for this day and this nourishment and this breath. Thank you to the elements. Thank you to the directions. Thank you to all the beings seen and unseen on this beautiful planet. It's really so important that we create some kind of symbiotic relationship with her that really means something to us. It's really special for us individually.
And in order to pursue these unique callings, do we need to perform a little personal housekeeping first?
Yeah, I recommend personal housekeeping on a regular basis. I think it's really important to check in with yourself. It's a really good way to put it, Victor. When you get to check in with yourself and to see where you're at, you know, to let go of, maybe to let go of complaints. Let's say you have a full-time job and it's not working for you. It's really tough. You want to find a new purpose in life. Sometimes that takes checking in with yourself instead of just simply looking at external activity or an external way of going from A to B and still earning money, which is a really good idea, is to have a, you know, a plan in the 3D. I think it's also important to go inside and say, well, where am I at and how have I created this? Because I've created this situation for a reason. And if you can look in and take responsibility, complete responsibility for where you're at, not for what anyone else is doing to you or not for how anyone else is being, just for where you're at. Taking responsibility for that is just really so empowering and so inspiring that you'll find a natural flow occurs because you're letting go of a block from within. So when you pair the doing aspect, which we love as humans, the doing and the thinking, to the coming back to the how am I being, then you find that actually your purpose really is about how you're being in the world and that what you're doing flows from there.
There's a wonderful lyric written by Justin Hayward of the Moody Blues that says in part, "For those that lack the courage or say it's dangerous to try, they just don't know that love eternal will not be denied." What do you offer to those who may be afraid to embrace their wild-hearted purpose?
What a great lyric. Thank you for sharing that. If you're really feeling hesitant, scared, anxious about embracing your own unique purpose, then may I suggest that the hesitancy within you is not really yours. If you're feeling completely in love with the flow of life, then you're feeling completely authentic to who you are. If you're caught up in any kind of narrative created by the ego that you can't do this, you're not brave enough, you don't have what it takes, you need to pay the rent or the mortgage, and you just can't pursue something as frivolous as self-purpose, the ego will really use whatever language it can to stop you from being as expansive as possible. It wants to limit you because that's what feels safe. So recognize that this fear and anxiety and whatever is holding you back isn't yours. I would suggest it may even be conditioning from society or from your family or even from like one peer that you met along the way or one well-intentioned family member that you spoke to along the way that really is holding you back. So the more you can tune into, okay, what is underneath this fear and anxiety? What is underneath what is holding me back? Because this isn't me. And so that gives you more of a wider perspective to look at it and say, okay, well, if this isn't me, where did it come from? I can clear that because it's not even mine. Then you get attention and gentle consciousness around it. It tends to kind of shift itself and then you can let it go. You can also do that with a coach or a mentor or a healer or a practitioner who can really guide you through that process, but they can't do it for you. So whatever you can let go of, you'll find life becomes more easeful and you'll find that the courage that you need to step onto your soul's unique path and purpose has been there all along. It's there within your heart. It's there within the deepest, most beautiful, bravest aspects of who you already are.
And once we pursued all of the wonderful exercises, practices, and steps that you share with us in Wild-Hearted Purpose, what may we find internally, externally, and eternally?
Well, what I hope you find is love. I pray for every reader who moves through the processes of the book. I hope what they find is a closer connection to love, to the love of their own being, to the love that comes through community, through the love that comes through connecting with Mother Gaia and really getting hands dirty and growing food or whatever it is that you love to do in nature. And that's my prayer. I really do hope that people who who move through the book and come back to it to really refresh their energy around purpose, what I hope is that they are closer to the truth of who they are and closer to a state of being in the world that feels expansive and right for them. And to me, that always looks and sounds and feels like love.
The wisdom and love of Chris Franken. Her book, Wild-Hearted Purpose, Embrace Your Unique Calling and the Unmapped Path of Authenticity. Chris, one more time, please tell our listeners where they may get your books and find out more about you and your wonderful work.
Thank you so much, Victor. So my website is chrisfranken.com. That's K-R-I-S-F-R-A-N-K-E-N.com. And on there, you're going to find my books and the cards that I've written. You'll find ways to connect with me one-on-one, any events that I have coming up. I have my free intuitive playbook there, and I also have some free meditations on Insight Timer, and you'll find the link to those on my website as well.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us and sharing this wonderful work.
Oh, Victor, thank you so much for this opportunity and for your very thoughtful questions. It's just been so beautiful to connect with you and everyone else.
And thank you for joining us on Vox Novus. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.